So again, we pick up on Chesam at Beis on the very bottom. We begin by Amar Rabbi Yochanan. My dechsev, what did I? Was it something I said? My dechsev, what does it mean when it is written Aser ta Aser, you shall surely take Meiser? What does that mean? So Rabbi Yochanan says Aser b'shvil shetis asher, you should take Meiser so that you become wealthy. Now, I think that there's two ways to read this drasha. It's either aser b'shvil shetis asher, you should take Meiser so that you become wealthy.
I think it's the very last...
Very, very end. So aser taser aser b'shvil shetis asher, I think that's the standard way of reading it. You should take Meiser so that you become wealthy, that the taking Meiser, you know, increases your wealth, counterintuitively. Or some people, I think, read it aser b'shvil shetis aser. You should take Meiser so that you should, in the future, be able to continue to give Meiser, right? Either because of mitzvah gereris a mitzvah, or because, you know, the Hashem will reward whatever it is you're giving to tzedakah, he will put it right back in your bank account, so to speak. At any rate, both of these readings are ole b'kona echad. They really essentially say the same thing, and that is that giving Meiser is going to lead to good things. Now, without getting too deep into this Tosfos, which is really an interesting Tosfos to read anyway, and it raises another story, maybe a story not as interesting as the Chulda and the Boar, which I know had a lot of people really going that evening, but he does bring a story. Bekitzer, he brings a story of a man who would constantly take Meiser from his field, and he instructed his son upon his death to do the same. I'm going to give you this field, son, and I want you to take Meiser. And the son says, sure, and he gives Meiser. And the next year he realizes, wait a minute, I'm giving a lot of charity here. So he starts cutting back on the Meiser that he's giving. And what ends up happening is that instead of producing 1,000 bushels of wheat in a given year, it's only producing 100. Because it's only producing the Meiser that he was supposed to give. So that's what that's the story that Tosfos brings down. It's actually... you stated over in a children's story, and I heard in my car. I heard this story, and I thought that they just made up the story, but it's actually in this Tosfos right here, and it's from a Medrash.
So didn't know that Uncle Moshe was. Such
I didn't know that Uncle Moshe was a Lamdan.
Yeah.
He is apparently a Lamdan.
Happens.
So anyway, the first three lines, which we will read, because it raises another interesting topic. If you look at Tosfos Dibra Maskal Aser Ta'aser, Hacha'isa B'Sifri, this is what it brings down in the Sifri and the Medrash. Aser Ta'aser, as Kol Tvuas Zarecha, the Pasuk says you should surely take Meiser from all of the grains of your Zerah, of your seed, Hayotze HaSadeh Shana Shana, which comes out of the field every single year. So says the Medrash, Einli Ela Tvuas Zarecha. Now I know from here only that a person is chayiv to take Meiser from whatever you grow from your seed, shechayiv b'maiser. But what about ribis uprakmatia v'chol shar revachim? How do we know about your interest? Obviously, we're talking about legal interest because you're not allowed to take illegal interest, illegal ribis. But the legal interest that you get, or the prakmatia, the business, your business dealings, right? So you're an accountant, so you charge for your tax returns. So what about that? What about your business income? Is that subject to maiser? How do we know that that is? Talmud Lomar es kol. The Pasuk says, aser ta'aser es kol. All of your tvuas zarecha. So it's not just tvuas zarecha, which is chayiv meister, but also es kol. Everything. So this teaches you, from this we learn, that there is a chayiv of meister ksafim. Right? Okay. Dahave matzalei me'amra es tvuas zarecha. My kol l'rabos ribis uprakmatia v'chol darish maviyacho. Period. So that's the first chelik in Tosfos, which we will read inside. That there is a chiyuv of ma'aser ksafim. However, the chiyuv of ma'aser ksafim is not explicit in the pasuk. It's only learned out from a diuk, from a drasha from Eskol. The question is, okay, we have a chiyuv of ma'aser ksafim lechora, but how? To what extent do we take this chiyuv? Is it a chiyuv daraisa like a regular ma'aser? Or do we say that since it's just a drasha, it's just an asmachta, it's just something for the Rabbanan to rely upon, but it's not really a din daraisa, which is what some poskim hold. And there are poskim yet, I'm not a posek, I am just throwing it out there. There are poskim that hold that maisuk safim, especially bizmanenu, is only a minug. It is not a chiyuv. Bichlal. Midat chasidut, so to speak. Oh, we have. We got to bring in a third tape. Okay, just you can let me just move over. I'll move over.
Yeah, but in the example you cited, okay, the fee is your main source of revenue.
What is?
Your fee. Language, bruto or netto. Okay, meaning before, before taxes or after taxes. In other words, you make a bottom line profit.
You're certainly taking it only on the profit, okay? Because if your profit is zero, then there's nothing to take it, even if your business income is $1 million. But so that's obvious. The question becomes, and there are poskim, again, there are poskim that say this. I'm not a posek and I'm not poskening for you, but there are poskim that hold. That are of the opinion that since it is only a minig nowadays, so if a person only makes enough to meet his expenses, his daily expenses, but he doesn't make beyond that, then he's not chayav bechlal in any maisrus. Okay. At any rate, I just wanted to raise that. There are three shitas, daraisa, derabanan, or not even, just a minig chasidus, exactly how you phrase it, you know, or maybe it's just a mitzvah stuck in general, but there's no chiyuv of maisrus. Yeah? What did you want to say?
You're not supposed to go into debt to give
maisrus. Huh? You're not what?
You're not supposed to go into debt to give maisrus.
Right. You're not supposed to go into debt.
Yeah.
To give maisrus.
If you want a minus by giving maisrus, you're not supposed to do that.
Okay.
You yourself become an ani.
You yourself become an ani, subject to maisrus.
If it's minig yisrael, we would still denigrate it, that we're saying it's a minas chasidus, even though it's minig yisrael?
I don't know exactly how to classify it. I don't know exactly how to classify it. I mean, if you hold that Maisik Safim is a din daraisa, then even if you then you would hold that even if it puts you into debt, so to speak, you should give it. And according to the drasha of Avaser Askarav, perhaps. But
the Gra holds in daraisa, right?
What?
The Gra holds, is there right?
I don't know what the Gra holds on this. There's so many shitas in my head about this that I can't tell you authoritatively if the Gra holds that.
There's one big
sheet in the
Gra somewhere, I think.
But only the Shulchan Aruch holds it.
What?
He doesn't hold it.
Some shitas don't hold it.
Right. Right.
It's not easy to get.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that out. I know that the Noda Yehuda, who I think the Noda Yehuda holds that it is a Dindra Bana, but he says based on the pasuk Hayotzeh Sadeh Shana Shana, yearly. So he says that the chiyuv of Meiser, which I think he holds as drabanan, is an annual thing. Which is to say that if you have losses at the end of the year, you cannot use the losses at the end of 1 year to offset the income or the profits of year two. It's every year is to be taken by itself. So what I'm usually makbid to do every month, I do an accounting of what I made that month. And so I'll give Meisers for that month. If I have a loss in the following month, then I'll use that loss to offset the following month. But what he's saying is you cannot use that loss in a given year from 1 year to the next. And if I were to give maisrus every month, which is what I do, if in month 12 I have losses, I cannot use month 12's losses to offset the income in month 1 of the following year. So that would be an interesting summary.
Is that speaking on a personal level or on your business?
Well, my business is my personal. I mean, everything that what comes into my business, that's right. That's what we make.
I don't know if you have a separate entity corporation.
It's an S corp, so it's a flow through.
Uh-huh.
But at any rate, that's that. Interesting enough. Anyway, here we go. Here we get into the Agadatos. Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan the Yonuka Reish Lakish. Now, as we know, Reish Lakish was actually, initially at least, the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. He later became a chavrus of Rabbi Yochanan. They were bar pluktas for a very long time, but initially Reish Lakish was not, and he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan saw the found the child of Reish Lakish. And Amrle, he said to him, Eimam li psukech, tell me your pasuk. Right? He saw that the kid was learning, so he said, tell me your pasuk. Amrle, he said to him, Aser ta aser. I'm learning the pasuk of Aser ta aser. And Amrle, and the kid says to him, Umay Aser ta aser. What?
His nephew, Rav Yochanan.
Yanuk Reish Lakish. Rashi says, Ben Achoso shel Rav Yochanan. It was the son of his sister. Ah, so Reish Lakish married his sister? Very good. Shkach. We'll see later on. This is after Reish Lakish had already passed. Right. But anyway, so he says to him, the kid says to Rabbi Yochanan, "Umais aser taser." What does this mean? Aser taser. So Amrle, so Rabbi Yochanan quoted him his own drasha, "Aser b'shvil shetis asher," as we'll learn it. You should give maaser so that you become wealthy. Amrle, so the kid said to Rabbi Yochanan, "Minalach, where did you get this from? Where did you learn this, Drasha?
Very brash.
Amrle, so he says to him, Zil Nasi, you can go test Hashem. Go try it. You'll see. You'll become a wealthy man if you give Maisris. So Amrle, the kid said to Rabbi Yochanan, Umi Shari Leninsuyi LaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it mutter to test Hashem? You can't do such a thing. The Haksiv, but the Pasuk says, Lo Tanasu Es Hashem. You cannot test Hashem. So, how can you tell me that I should test Hashem by giving the Maisris? So Amar Lei, so Rav Yochanan says back to the kid, Hach Yamar Rav Hoshia. Rav Hoshia says the following. Now Rav Hoshia, as we're going to learn, I think it's the Gemara later on, Daf Chaf something, Chaf Gimel Dalid, is a very fascinating Agadata with both Rav Yochanan, I believe it's Rav Yochanan and Rav Hoshia, I want to say. Maybe it's Reish Lakish and Rav Hoshia. At any rate, we'll get there. But Rav Hoshia was a contemporary of both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But he quotes Rav Hoshia and he says, Chut Mizu. This is the one time in the entire Torah where a person is allowed to test Hashem. Normally, Los Anasu is Hashem applies. But in this case of Maisris, you're allowed to test Hashem. Shenemar, as we have a pasuk in Malachi, which is the very last sefer in Nach, that says, Haviu es kol ha-maaser el beis ha-otzer. You should bring all of the maaser to the storehouse. Vayi teref bevesi. And there will be food in my house. Uvachanuni nabazos. And you may test me in this. Amar Hashem tzvakos. So he's saying, you may test me when it comes to maaseris. Im lo eftach lachem es aruvos ha-shamayim. If I will not open for you the skylight, or the windows of Shamayim, v'harikosi lachem bracha, and I will empty upon you bracha ad bli dai, until it's not enough. So now, ad bli dai, what does that mean? Until it's not enough? What do you mean until it's not enough? It should be until it's enough. So my ad bli dai, what does it mean ad bli dai? So this is a famous drasha. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Amar Rav, ad sheyivlu sivso sechem milomer dai. So he learns the word bli, as in lahavlos, which means to wear out, right? To wither. Until your lips become so worn out, become so withered from saying dai, from saying enough. So I'm going to give you so much bracha that you keep saying enough, 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 that your lips are swollen from saying enough. That is the guarantee, 100% guarantee, or your money back, if you will.
Or as Trump would say, until he gets so tired of winning.
Yeah, right. So that's what Rav Hoshia says. Anyway, that's what Rav Hoshia says. Amrle, so the kid says back to Rabbi Yochanan, very brash, I have us mati hasam. Had I gotten there, meaning you just quoted me the very last...
I'm not up to there yet.
I'm not up to there yet. I'm learning Dvarim. I'm learning Haser Taser. I'm in the middle of Dvarim here. Had I gotten up to Malachi, then Lahai Pesukah, had I gotten all that far, Lo Havis Trichna Lachu Lo Hashayor Abach, I would not have required you, and I would not have required Rav Hoshia, your Rebbe. I would have been able to figure all this out myself.
It's not such a lumbus thing. It's a very simple thing. You need great rabbis to understand.
What? Yeah.
This is Boy's problem. He's the one who asked.
What's his problem?
When did he ask?
Yeah.
Nobody came to him to say, I feel like teaching you a lesson. He went and asked.
He went and asked. You're very upset about that. I can see you're very upset about this. You're really getting well worked up about this.
Yeah, but when if he's saying, if I'd come this far...
Had I gotten to this pasuk,
I wouldn't have had to add. I wouldn't have
I would have figured all this out.
I would have figured it all out. Yeah. I wouldn't have needed to ask you.
Yeah, then I wouldn't have asked
you. Okay, but Ramyokanon interrupted him. Where are you? Okay, so therefore, where are you? What are you learning here?
Yeah.
Okay, brought the question.
Yeah.
Had he not asked him, he would have gotten further and gotten the answer himself.
No, yeah, well, it takes a long time to get from Dvarim to Malachi. I don't know how fast this kid is learning, but it takes a while. It would have taken him a while, all right? It probably would have taken him more than the Daf HaShavua. Anyway, it's an interesting Agadah. Exactly what you do with this, I don't even know. I don't even know where to go with this and what the Shakla Vatarya exactly is between Rabbi Yochanan and the kid. What's interesting anyway is that as Zev pointed out, what exactly is Rav Hoshaya adding here that the Pasuk is not? Why did Rabbi Yochanan have to say that Rav Hoshaya says Chutz Mizu? With the exception of Meiser, you can't test Hashem. As it says in the Pasuk, you can test Hashem. But what's Rav Hoshaya adding? He's just telling a Pasuk. Why couldn't Rabbi Yochanan say the Pasuk? Isn't the Pasuk Mefurish enough? Is it not? Is Rav Hoshaya just saying Ad Bli Dai, Ad Sheyivlu Sososeichem Yilomer Dai? That's his big point. That really has, that's a side point. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So this is a Gemara in Chaf something that we're discussing, that Rav Hoshaya and Rabbi Yochanan, I want to say it's Rabbi Yochanan. Man, now you brought up that Gemara, now I have to find it. But it's a fascinating Gemara. No, it's not Rav Hoshaya, it's Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa. Sorry. It was a while since I learned Tainus. It's Ilfa. It's not Rav Hoshaya. I stand corrected.
But still good. Right?
But it's still real. But he's still pretty good. Anyway, Rav Hoshaya was Rav Hoshaya. If you remember from the Gemara in, I want to say Rosh Hashanah, Rav Hoshaya was a bucky in Bryce's. He was a bucky in Bryce's. You could not stump Rav Hoshaya in Bryce's. So it appears that Rav Hoshaya was on some kind of level. So you want? What do you want to say? If Rav Hoshaya was greater than Rabbi Yochanan, then Rabbi Yochanan would want to quote a...
If Rabbi Yochanan is giving his own shot, it's less humble than to give somebody else's shot, especially somebody who's greater than him and learn.
But it's quoting a pasuk.
I understand. I'm saying, here.
It's not incredibly impressive. Unless there's something, right, there's something more than meets the eye. I don't know. I don't even know what the kid is saying. I mean, had I gotten there, I wouldn't have needed you guys.
I don't know. But the simple is just talking about a one-off case.
Yeah, it's a one-off case. So that's the point.
Yeah, the fact that you can extend that in general.
Extend it in general where?
You know, as anyone could give Meiser and test Hashem.
Right. So you want to say that B'chanina B'zos, meaning that this pasuk, the Rav Hoshaya's chiddush is that this pasuk is applicable to anybody who gives Meiser.
Yeah.
Even though the pasuk is talking about Heviu Ultra Space Hashem, it's talking about a specific time. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Say that again.
He wants to be machadish. What Rav Hoshaya is adding that the pasuk is not, is that the pasuk, you can say, one might learn, the pasuk is being a one-off case. Right? In this specific scenario, Hashem said, so... If you bring the Meister to the Beis Hashem, you bring your Meisters to the Mikdash, so then I'll give you Bracha. But that's a one-off case. Not in every case you give Meister, you're going to get Bracha. Rav Hoshaya's Chiddush is that Ad Sheyivlu Sososeichem Yilomer Dai is global. It's universal.
Not just one-off.
Not just one-off. Okay, very nice. Very nice.
That's why the boy is wrong.
What?
If he would have gotten to this pasuk without Rav Hoshaya,
maybe he wouldn't have gotten that to Russia. The kid is obviously very confident. He's very confident he could have learned this without it. He could have learned this without it. All right. Anyway. It appears that this yesod of Malachi is nirmaz in the pasuk of Aser Ta'aser. That's what Rabbi Yochanan's point is, that Aser Ta'aser is really a remez to this Yesod that is brought out more completely, thoroughly, and expansively in Malachi. Okay, that's story number one. Keep that in mind. Story number two, Vesu. And furthermore, you with me? This is good stuff. It doesn't get better than this. It doesn't get better than this. V'su ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan liyonu. What?
Story hour.
Story hour. This is story hour. V'su ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan. It won't be a full hour. Don't worry. It's not going to be like 45 minutes. V'su ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan liyonuka. To Reish Lakish. Again, Rabbi Yochanan sees the child of Reish Lakish. Now, is this the same child as a different child? You have anything about that? Don't have anything about that.
Why should it be the same? How many children? Child?
Why? What?
Why do you think it would be a different child?
I don't know. I don't know how many children he had. It said Vesu. He said Leonuka to Reish Lakish. Maybe it's the same one. Taka.
Same one.
Okay. Let's assume it's the same one. The Yosef, he was sitting, the Amar, and the kid was saying the following pasuk.
You already got to the end of
Oh, yeah, now we got to the end. Now he's on Mishlei. He's making good ground. Oh, you're right. He's covering very good ground. Okay. But Amar, and he says to him, I'm assuming it wasn't the same day. This kid's a prodigy. But Amar, and he says, Iveles Adam Tisalef Darko. The folly of man will blind his ways. Ve'al Hashem yizaef libo, and on Hashem he will cast his anger, the anger of his heart. So, in other words, a man makes the mistake and he gets punished, and instead of taking the blame, he throws it on Hashem, saying, how can Hashem do this? Yosef Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was sitting and listening to this pasuk, v'kamasman, he was wondering. He was in total wonder. Amr, he said, Is there anything that is written explicitly in the pasuk of the ksuvim, like Mishlei, that is not nirmaz, that is not ramuz in the Torah?
I don't understand this question. Is it rhetorical?
I don't know. I don't know what the question is. I push it, don't know. No, I don't understand any of this.
I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand. It's a rhetorical question if he really doesn't think it's in the Torah. He's assuming that's not in the Torah.
Maybe he's assuming this pasuk is not in the Torah. Right. I don't know.
There's no remez for it in the Torah.
No remez for the Torah. But anyway, but the answer is a pellet. Amr Lei, so the kid says to him, Atu ha mili. Atu ha mi lo remizi. You want to tell me that this yesod that I just quoted you, this pasuk, is not nirmaz in the Torah? The haksiv. But it says explicitly in the Torah, Vayetze libam vayechardu ish el achiv. Their hearts went out. They trembled one to the other. Lemor mazos aso elokim lanu. Saying...
Whoa. Their hearts went out.
1 second. I haven't explained anything. I'm not meaning. I haven't meant anything yet. I'm translating the pasuk. I haven't told you anything. Lemor mazos aso elokim lanu. What is it that Hashem... What evil hath God wrought, if you will? So, what is this pasuk talking about?
For example, they did
this. This is talking about the brothers. The brothers of Yosef, and Yosef puts extra money into their pouches. Binyam. No, not Binyam. That's not the gaviyah. They put the extra money in there. They get to the hotel, right? They get to the Ritz. They open it up, and what do they see? They see some extra money in there. They're like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, they're like looking at one another like in total shock, and they're saying, what is it that Hashem did to us? Right? So, what's going on in the pasuk? What's going on clearly is, Yosef is punishing them for what? For the fact that they sold him. So their avera was that they sold him. It's their fault. And what are they saying? It's on God. God did this to us. So exactly. This is Iveles Adam. This is the folly of man. And Al Hashem is Aif Libo. And he's casting his anger on Hashem. It's exactly what the brothers are doing. The brothers are at fault. And they're saying it's Hashem's problem.
Yochanan didn't even know. He was Mitame. He didn't know.
The kid knows better than Rabbi
Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan didn't have an answer. He says this can't be.
The kid knows better than Rabbi, because
there's no remez for the Torah. And he says, the kid says, there is an easy remez.
I never understood the
pasuk. Oh, very good. Well, how did you understand the pasuk?
It's like, what did Hashem come to us? Like this is like surreal. This doesn't make sense. What's going on here? But it's not necessarily a punishment.
Okay, it's not.
If you find money that doesn't belong to you, you think it's a punishment? I don't.
You want to say that they're understanding that this is extra money given to us, and therefore
it's not normal what's going on.
Like,
this is min hashamayim.
Okay, but no, it says vayecherdu. Vayecherdu means that there was charada. They were trembling.
They were afraid they were going to get punished like Shimon.
If you look at the Mepharshim,
the trepidation to me seems to be, how does money get in here?
Right.
Okay. How does money get in here?
He's going to accuse us of stealing.
What's the problem?
What did Hashem do to us?
You have the answer.
What?
So it's no problem. So the Gemara flows very nicely.
Yeah? One second.
What's your problem?
No, I have a couple problems. I have a number of problems here, okay? Problem number one is, this Yisod that's brought down in Mishlei, right? Iveles Adam Va'al Hashem Yezaif Libo. I mean, this is a recurring theme, I would think. It's a recurring theme in the Torah. What is it that Rabbi Yochanan is asking? Boy, I wonder where this is near us in the Torah. This is all over. This is Yosef. This is, by the way, Adam Arishon. What does he do? He eats from the Eitz Hadas, his folly. And what does he do? He says, Ha'isha asher nasata imadi, he nasan li v'ochel. It's her fault. You gave me the woman. So that's exactly this case. What's his question?
Yochanan was having a bad day.
His question, it says all over the Torah. B'nai Yisrael, they do terrible things, and they blame Hashem. Ha'meblien k'varim b'mitzrayim. This is all over. So what is Rabbi Yochanan wondering? What's the wonder? It's the Torah. The entire Torah is filled with it. So he brings a Mariah from Yosef. I don't know. I'm a little bit matmiya on the tema. I don't understand. That's number one. Okay, number two.
Maybe the tema is just which one, because it's one against one. So which pasuk
again?
There's many examples. But he doesn't know which one, and he knew there was something in the Torah. He just doesn't know which one.
Really, his lashon is miika midi deksivi biksuvi deloramizi baraisa. He's saying. He seems to be saying, I can't find anywhere where it's Rabbis of the Torah. Not that I found so many places and I can't find one. I don't know. The other smaller issue, I guess, is that he's saying, Mi kamidi diksivi biksuvi, is there anything written explicitly in the ksuvim, delo remizi baraisa, that is not hinted to in the Torah? And then he brings in the Yosef and the brothers. Well, Yosef and the brothers is not hinted to. It's explicit. It's mefurish. So what does Rabbi Yochanan really want to know? What is he looking for? It looks like he's looking for a remez. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan is not... He's not wondering about the concept. He understands the concept. The concept is clear. It comes out throughout the Torah. He wants to know, where is there rumbles? Where is there remiza? Where is there a hint? To that, I might say, I would suggest, that perhaps what the answer is Iveles Adam, the folly of man, Tisalef Darko. What does Tisalef Darko mean? Tisalef means we're blind. Where else do we have Salef? Where is Salef come up in the Torah?
Shochad.
Hakia Shochad, Yisalef Divrei Tzadikim. Disalef means it will blind. Shochad, money will distort. It will blind you. What happened with the brothers? What did they say? They said, Ma Betza ki naharog yasachinu. What profit is there? So for them, the problem was the money. The money was Misalef Divrei Tzadikim. So that's the remez. The remez of the brothers was in the profits that they got. The fact that they sold Yosef. They were completely blinded by what was right and what was wrong. They thought they were doing the right thing. We're going to sell him. We're not going to kill him. We're tzaddikim.
So
but they didn't realize that the money that they were getting was misalef divrei tzaddikim.
That's the remez in the Torah, not the
befeirish. That's the remez, not the befeirish.
Is that your idea?
Yeah. It's my idea.
Wow.
It's a possibility. Anyway,
I
should write a sefer, and that will be my only Dvar Torah. It'll be a very, very short sefer. Yeah, what?
Could be.
could be. Exactly. Anyway, after this, Dal Eine. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan picked up his eyes. Now, Rabbi Yochanan was a Baal Basar. He was a very fat man. And so... it required a big effort for him.
Fat?
Yeah. I just said that. Not P-H-A-T. He was fat. I mean, he might have been P-H-A-T too.
I didn't know that he was fat.
There are other Gemaras that say he was a ball buster. He was fat. So it required an effort for him to pick up his eyes. You had to actually take a fork and lift up his eyelids. So that's not a joke. That's actually a Gemara.
Seriously,
you have to take a pitchfork and
everything. Footnote 10.
Okay. Oh, that's what they say.
Baba Kama 117a.
Baba Kama
relates Rabbi Yochanan had long eyebrows which covered his entire eye. When he wished to look at something, he would lift his eyebrows with silver tweezers.
Tweezers, sorry,
in
not a fork.
In this instance, you want to look at the boy who demonstrated such sharpness, citing Rashi.
Okay. So apparently there was some sharpness in this kid that wasn't explicit. At any rate, we'll leave it at that. Dalena, he picked up his eyes, Vachazabe, and he glared at the kid. Asya Ime, and so the mother of the child came by, and Afikde, and she removed the kid from his eyesight. His sister, yeah, it's really
just revealed. Miraculously came by at that moment.
I don't know. She was baking cookies. I don't know where they were.
She was sitting on the couch in the
piano lesson. Yeah, Rashi says piano lesson. Very good. I'm relay. So she says to the kid, "Tami kamei, remove yourself from Rabbi Yochanan's eyesight. Delo liyavid lach kida avid laavuch, so that Rabbi Yochanan does not do to you what he did to your father, because Rabbi Yochanan, and we learned from another Gemara, I think a Gemara in Bava Metzia maybe." That Rabbi Yochanan actually killed Reish Lakish because they were involved in a dispute, and it got so involved that Rabbi Yochanan
gave him a glare that killed him.
So the
looks
mother
can kill.
What
looks can kill
looks can kill, and looks did kill. So she was very worried for the fate of her child, and she removed him at once from the glare of Rabbi Yochanan. Anyway. That's a fun one. Here we go. here's the third one. By the way, I was just thinking, it's interesting the link between these two stories, even though they both involve Rabbi Yochanan and the child, is that in the first case, you have the pasuk in Malachi, which is helping to explain the pasuk of Aser Ta'aser. The pasuk in the second case, you have the pasuk in Torah that is helping to explain the pasuk in Mishlei. I don't know exactly what the taicha is over there, but there's something going on there. At any rate, these are interesting stories. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Mater Bishvil Yachid. We'll get another brisa that'll tell us an interesting agadata. But before that, Rabbi Yochanan says, Mater Bishvil Yachid, the mater, rain, can fall because of one individual. It would take just one individual with his prayers and his deeds to create rain, as we'll see further on Testament Beis. Mutter. Mutter Bishvil Yachid Parnasa, however, when it comes to sustenance, which Rashi is understanding as extra food, abundance, when it comes to an abundance of food, Bishvil Rabim, that would only come because of the schus of the Rabim. It won't be enough for a Yachid and his prayers and his deeds to produce Parnasa. It'll just be enough for him to produce Mutter for him to get by, but not Parnasa. So, Mutter Bishvil Yachid, how do we know that rain falls because of a Yachid Dichsiv? Because it says, Yiftach Hashem Lacha, singular. Hashem will open for you, singular, Es Otsaro, his storehouse. Hatov, that is good. Laseis Mitar Artsacha, to give the Mutter of your land. So this is all singular. So we see that Mutter will fall because of the single person. Parnasa, Brishvil Rabim, but Parnasa will come for the Rabim, Dichsiv, Hinani Mamtir Lachem, Lechem. So when it comes to lechem, parnasa, which is the extra, the food, so that's going to be lechem, that's only going to be plural, that's going to be for the rabbin. Okay. Now,
the English here uses the word prosperity.
Prosperity is extra.
Rather than sustenance.
Prosperity. There you have it. Meisvei, you want to tell me that Mutter comes only Bishvil Yachid and it requires a Rabim to bring on Parnasa? I'll show you that that is not true. Meisvei, this is going to be a lengthy Brisa, but it's a very simple one and a very fast one. The Brisa says like this, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Oimer, Shlosha Parnasim Tovim Amdu Yisrael. There were three Parnasim. There were three, how do we translate a Parnes?
Leader.
What? Yeah, is it defined as a leader? Okay, there are three leaders. In this case, financial
leader. Leader who provides.
Yes, a financial leader, let's call him. Let's call him for now financial leader. The Gemara on Daf Yud will clarify exactly what a parnes is. But there are three leaders that... L-E-A-D-E-R-S, not L-I-T-E-R-S. Yeah, 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 yeah. But anyway, there are three leaders, financial leaders, that stood up for Klal Yisrael, and Elohim, these are they. Moshe, V'Aaron, and Miriam. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam stood up for Klal Yisrael as the leaders. V'Gimel, Matanos, Tovos, Nitnu, Al Yadam. And there were three great gifts that were given to Klal Yisrael through them. The Elohim, and these are they. Be'er, V'Anan, Uman. The Be'er of water, the Anan, the clouds of glory, and the Man, that was given down in the Midbar. Be'er, the well that produced the water, was Bizchus Miriam. That was given Bizchus Miriam. Amud Anan, the pillar of cloud, Bizchus Aharon. That was given in the Bizchus of Aharon. Mun, the mun that was given, was Bizchus Moshe, was in the Bizchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mesa Miriam Nistalik HaBe'er. When Miriam died, the Be'er was removed. Shenamar, as it says in the Pasuk, V'atamas Sham Miriam, Miriam died. Uksiv Basrei, and immediately afterwards it says, V'lo Hayamayim La'ida, there was no water for the people to drink. So you see that there was a link between the death of Miriam and the lack of water, and that's because the Be'er that was provided in the Midbar was Bizchus Miriam. V'chazra Bizchus Shnehem, and because of Moshe and Aaron who were still alive, the water returned. As we say, as it says in the Torah, that Hashem commanded Moshe and Aaron to speak to the rock and bring forth water.
Commanded Moshe to speak to the rock.
I actually said to both of them.
Really?
Yes. V'dibartem el hasela. V'chazur b'zchus shnehem. Meis Aharon, when Aaron died, nistralko anane akavod. Then the clouds of glory left. Shenamar, as it says, v'yishma haknani melech Arad. The Kanani, who was the king of Arad. This is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. We had this before. Daf Gimel or something like that. Dalad maybe. Shenemar Vayishma Kanani Melech Arad. The Kanani, the king of Arad, heard. Mashmua Shama. What is it that he heard? The Pasuk doesn't say what it is that he heard. What was this thing that he heard? Shama Shames Aharon. He heard that Aaron died. Vinistalko Ananiya Kavod, and that the Ananiya Kavod left. Ukasavar, and he therefore thought, Nitna lo rishus lehilachim b'Yisrael. I now have permission to fight with Klal Yisrael, and I'm going to be victorious. Behindu dechsev, and this is what it means in the pasuk when it says, Vayiru kol ha'eda ki gava Aaron. All the people saw when Aaron went up to Hor Hahar, they saw that Aaron died. Amrabi Abahu, what does it mean that they saw? Al tikri vayiru. Don't read it as they saw. Ella Vayiru.
Two yuds,
meaning that they were seen. They were exposed. Why were they exposed? Kid the Darish Reish Lakish, as Reish Lakish darshins, the Amr Reish Lakish, ki mishamish ba'ar b'loshonos, ki, when it says in the Pasuk, Vayiru ko Eda, ki gava Aaron, which we understood to mean that the Eda saw that Aaron died, ki can actually mean four different things. E, it can mean if, Dilma perhaps, Ella rather, or Daha, because. So how is he understanding this? He's understanding the pasuk. Rabbi Abo understands the pasuk. Vayiru kol ha'eda, the people were exposed. Why were they exposed? Ki gava Aaron, because Aaron died. Because Aaron died, they were exposed. Why? Because the Ananiya Kavod left, and that's why Vayishma Kanani Melech Arad, the Melech Arad heard. He heard that the Ananiya Kavod left, and he said, "They're exposed. We can get them now." So that's Rabbi Abo's exposition of the pasuk. And so we see that the Ananiya Kavod came because of Aaron, and when Aaron died, it left. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? You want to shlug me up? If you want to shlug me up, wait until afterwards.
Okay.
What?
What preceded Aaron's death?
Yeah. In terms of the storyline?
Yeah.
Do you know? We had this. This is Gemara in Rosh Hashanah also. Yeah. What preceded Aaron's death?
It's written in the Torah, where they asked permission to go through Edom.
Exactly.
Right.
But they might not be chronologically true.
What?
But it might not be chronologically
true. Right. That might not be chronologically true. What?
That was before.
It's in the same part. They wanted permission to get through to Eretz Yisrael and the rock, the hitting of the rock.
The rock. Miriam died first. The rock disappeared. Okay.
But the rock. The bear. The bear.
What preceded Aaron dying?
Right. So we said the hitting of the rock.
Ah, okay.
But that's at least in the Torah. We don't know if that's chronologically true. There's a lot of... What are you looking up here?
all my life when I learned this Rashi, I thought Vayiru means they were afraid. Now I realize it's not, they weren't afraid, they were appeared. Vayiru. It's not Vayiru, because you have the Vayiru means they were afraid. I always thought that the two yuds meant when you're laying, you don't do Vayiru, because it's only one yud.
Right.
But Vayiru, the way it's
they were seen.
It's not they were afraid, because it could be they were afraid because they didn't have the Anarim, but they weren't. They were seen.
Right.
So it's really Vayiru. You see, he has here Vayiru, which is more accurate than Vayiru. Vayiru means they were afraid. A lot of times in the Chumash, Vayiru.
Uh-huh.
Right? But it's unbelievable. I always learned this Rashi, that Vayiru means they were afraid because Aaron died and didn't have the protection. That would make sense also. But he's saying no, they were sort of exposed. So that's why. See that? You learn something new every day.
What, I didn't teach you anything new up until this point? what have we been doing the past 35 minutes?
All right. Pace to come to the shiur.
Thank you for that. Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks for the vote of confidence. All right, here we go. Okay, so
I wasn't going to come tonight because it was such an easy moment.
No. Okay. Okay. So Chazur Shnehem now. Now the Anani HaKavod died because of Aaron's death. So they disappeared. Sorry. So Chazur Shnehem b'schus Moshe. So now both of them come b'schus Moshe. Moshe is the one who is upholding the be'er, and he's upholding the water, and upholding the Anani HaKavod.
And the man.
Meis Moshe and the man, which came b'schus him. Meis Moshe. Now Moshe died. Nistalku kulan. Everything was removed. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, va'achide shloshes haroim b'yareach echad. I am going to remove the three shepherds in 1 month. That's what Hashem says. I'm going to remove the three shepherds in 1 month. But is that true? The chibi areach echad mesu. Is it true that Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam all died in the same month? That is not true. The halo Miriam mesa benisan. Miriam died in Nisan. Aaron ba'av. Moshe ba'adar. These are three different months that they died. So what does the pasuk mean? That in 3 months, that in the same month, I'm going to remove all these three things. El melamed shenis batlu gimel matanos tovos. The three matanos tovos were batel. Shenasnu al yadan, that were given on their hands, v'nistalku kulan biyareach achad, and they were all removed for good in 1 month. Meaning Moshe was ultimately the one carrying the fort, and when he died, everything was completely removed. Little kasha, slight kasha, is that we just said...
I don't understand.
What?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
What don't you understand?
When you say they were like nullified or removed in the same month.
They were removed in the same month because ultimately Moshe was the one who was supporting the water, supporting the Anani HaKavod, and supporting the man.
So when
he died, everything went. Ultimately, Moshe was the one supporting everything. What was the schus of Miriam and Aaron that were...
Yeah, it seems like the Strusha is denigrating what Aaron and Miriam bring to the party.
Right. You have to say something like the Be'er that Miriam brought was on a different madrega than the water that Aaron and Moshe were able to bring forth from the Sela, from the rock. Mm-hmm. Right? There was something about the Be'er. Be'er Mayim Chaim is a, you know, it's living water. It's fresh water.
When Miriam had the skus bring the water,
right,
the water was at a, as it were, some higher level than when...
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Than when Aaron and Moshe...
Correct. That's what I'm arguing in it here. Anyway, at the end of this braisa, what's the point? Alma, we see Ashkechan Parnasa Bishvil Yachid. We see that Moshe, who was holding up the fort, the Parnasa, the man, the Lechem, Min HaShamayim, was being brought forth. Why? Because of one person. We said before that it's only Mutter. Only Mutter can be brought forth from one person. One person has the koach to bring Mutter, but one person does not have the koach to bring Lechem. But Moshe Rabbeinu is doing it. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who brought forth the man. It was all because Moshe that the man was. So when he died, the man was gone. So it's a raya. It's only one person. So how can you tell me that when it comes to Parnasa, i.e. Lechem, it must be the Rabbim that are bringing it? The Brisa says clearly that it was one person. It was Moshe.
The exception to the rule.
Ah, so the Gemara says he's an exception to the rule. The Gemara says, shiny Moshe. Moshe is different. Kevan de la Rabbim hu boy, ki Rabbim dummy. Since he was needing it. The Moshe's need for the man was not a personal need. It was a need for Klal Yisrael.
A-D-E-D.
What?
The rabbits needed the dough.
Ah. Okay. So okay. So then, since it was because of Moshe that the bread was necessary, kirabim dummy. He is considered like a rabbim, and that's essentially an exception to the rule. All right, we'll stop here. I've done enough damage here. We'll stop here. We have two interesting stories about Rav Papa coming up that I also don't really completely understand, but we will get there.
A little abrupt. Where did we stop?
We stopped at three lines from the end, Rav Huna Bar Manoach.
That's what we didn't say.
Right.
Well, I just said it. So, there you have it. I just said it. Okay? You want me to say the next few words? I can keep on going. Okay. That was a.
So we have to get three tables.
That was a 45. Well, that was only 45 minutes. We could have easily gone on. All right, no.